हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So to now then, Arjuna, all the kings, they came forward, made their try, their effort. And so no one else was there. So then Arjuna, then taking permission from his brothers, then he went forward. The Brahmins, then, you know, they gave their blessings. Then he went forward. He asked Drupad, then is it permissible for him as a Brahmin to take part? And then, since the kings were unsuccessful, you know, and the youth had stepped forward, he looked like he could do it. So then Drupad then said, it's not improper that the Kshatriyas are subservient to the Brahmins. So then if he wins, that means he was better than the Kshatriyas, so it's not a bad thing. And then he was respectful to, you know, in other words, you can see he's so far been respectful to everyone. Then he's respectful to the bow. He circumambulates, picks the bow up, strings it, puts the arrow on the bow just in one movement, and then in a moment shoots, and then he knocked down the target. So, yeah, the demigods, they threw flowers. The Brahmins all rose up in one body because now a Brahmin had won. And so then, and the monarchs were agitated like that. It's one thing, okay, nobody did it, now what? But a Brahmin did it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, they're the Kshatriyas, they're trained. So then Drupad turned to his, you know, the chief minister said, make the army ready, you know, just in case. And so then he also turned to Draupadi that she should accept the Brahmin as her husband, because that was the arrangement, and she was wanted somebody who, you know, the idea was somebody who had that valor and that character and that ability, you know, Kshatriya nature kind of thing, then he would be a proper husband. So the princess looked at Arjuna as he approached the dais. She was immediately attracted by his godlike youth with his gentle demure. Right? So you could just see immediately just that they were, you know, like the demigods, they had such culture, they had such prowess, such power. So it wasn't just, you know, you're saying, they actually had. Maybe he was Arjuna, as Yaja had promised. Even if he were not, there was certainly no shame in marrying him, because he has a prowess like Arjuna, and he's not Karna. Right? He was a Brahmin, and the Brahmins were always considered superior to the ruling caste, class, or Kshatriyas. And although he appeared to be a Brahmin, he was especially powerful and obviously self-controlled. This union was surely sanctified by the presence of Krishna, the all-powerful Lord of the creation, right? Because Draupadi is a great devotee also. Draupadi approached Kunti's son and joyfully placed the garland around his neck, right? So now up to here, he's won the thing and everyone's shocked and all this, and then he steps forward. You know, so again, so they see they'll be slightly in a daze, just like when Rukmini came out and all the kings are in a daze, so Krishna just went up and picked her up, put her on the chariot, and they're just watching. You know, and then at one point they go, hey, wait a minute. So the same here is that she comes out, she's so beautiful, he won, she's so beautiful, this and that, and then when she puts the garland around his neck, that means she's accepted him. Now they get upset. Seeing Draupadi actually accept the Brahmin, because, you know, he rejected Karna. You know, what if he doesn't? Okay, it's nice, you took part and all that, and Drupad gives nicely in charity to the Brahmin for doing this, but actually this is a Kshatriya event, so like this. But no, she actually, with father's consent, she accepted him. further infuriated the kings. Yudhishthir decided it was time to leave. Yes, he rose up with his brothers and walked towards the stadium gates. Arjuna followed behind with Draupadi. The Brahmins cheered and praised him as he walked past, right? So he's just going out. They just decide, let's get out of here because everyone's agitated. You know, if they leave and it calms down, they'll all go back to their quarters and then go back to their places. And they're staying at the potter's place, you know, and the Kshatriyas aren't going to be down at the potter's place. They're staying in their mansions that have been arranged for them. From amid the enraged kings, Duryodhana called out, how does this Drupad dare offend us in this way? Right, so now it's like he's had this ceremony, okay, if it was so tough that nobody can get it, and it was a challenge of Kshatriyas, then okay, they could figure we're not good enough, we'll go away, practice or whatever it is, then come back later. And so then we see is that but now he's allowed the Brahmin to take part and defeat them. Right? He has passed over all the lords of the earth to bestow his daughter upon a poor and unqualified Brahmin. Right? So he's saying he's passed over like that. It's like he's gone over the heads of with somebody of a lower nature. What he's not catching is that, as Drupad pointed out, because he's more pious, is that no, above the head, yes, over the heads of the lords of the earth, the kings, are the Brahmins. So even if it's a poor Brahmin, he's still above the Kshatriyas. And then he says, unqualified Brahmin, it's kind of like, hey, wait a minute, you tried, you didn't do it, this guy did it. You know, and everybody else is going out there and doing this thing, lifting and putting this. He just goes, picks it up, strings, puts the bow at one thing, and is ready to shoot like that. No one did like, no, was doing in that. Even Duryodhana was able to string, he couldn't hit the target. Brahmins should never be allowed to compete in a Swayamvar. That's true, because they are more powerful, which is meant only for the royal order. It seems Draupadi invited us here only to insult us. But he's not taking it that we're the royal, he's trying to make it we're the royal order, and this is only for the Brahmins. Because for Duryodhana, he only sees things from his own perspective. So all the Brahmins, everybody else are there just for him to be in power. He has no other point position in life. That's his weakness. That's the problem. Is he doesn't see in a pious way. Like we see in the Bhagavad Gita, that Arjuna is looking in a pious way. He comes out, sees everyone on the battlefield, see that it's all relatives and friends and family and acquaintances. Then he's thinking that, yes, according to Shastra, you're supposed to kill aggressors, but at the same time, these are family members and things, so there's a consideration. And so he's considering whether it's proper or not, or, you know, if the family members are so aggressive, then let them have it, and we'll just go to the forest. So he's considering things in a pious way. Well, you see, you know, about relationship. Well, Duryodhana doesn't consider relationship at all. He only considers it as a problem for his getting the kingdom. So he's telling Drona and Bhishma, says, oh, are you going to be weakened in battle because of your relationship with the Pandavas? So he considers nothing pious at all. Other than he'll perform his duties in that properly only because it keeps him in power. He does everything nicely because then there's no revolutions. He stays in power. So yes, he will manage things very properly as a king. But the problem is it's not from a pious angle. It's only from a self-centered angle. So you can see that in his response. Well, Drupad is immediately, okay, here's a Brahmin. Okay, the Kshatriya has failed. No problem in being defeated by a Brahmin, you know, like that. And then, even if he didn't make it, then, you know, none of the other Brahmins would probably step forward. So then it's understood, okay, nobody could do this. You know, then maybe he said, okay, anyone for a second round? Or, you know, Duryodhana would have tried again, or, you know, like that. The kings roared in agreement, right? So roared in agreement means the kings that would, you know, we would see later would side with Duryodhana, those that have that impious mentality. Some of them waved their weapons. Shishupal then said, right, also enemy of Krishna, the Panchala king is so proud that he thinks none of us his equal. All he did was set this up, right? He deserves to be punished at once. That's why he said, get the army ready. Let us act so that other Swayamvars do not end in a simpler way, right? So that if they punish him very badly, then no other king would be, you know, would be careful, right? That's the thing, you see, you know, as if he's better than all, and now they're going to show that we're the one to punish him. So they're establishing themselves as better. So you can just see is that the impious mentality never sees their own wrong, only sees others' wrongs. Why? Because it's wrong for themselves. It's wrong for me, that's why it's wrong. Well, a pious person will see, is it right or wrong according to the standard? The king stood up with the weapons at the ready. They glared at Drupad and moved in a body towards him. Seeing the overwhelming odds, Drupad backed away. Right? Because technically, if they want to fight, they can all move forward, but they have to individually. He's one man. Then they have to fight one-on-one, right? If they have their foot soldiers, they can fight with his foot soldiers. You don't have to worry about it. But actually, just standing there is Drupad, you know, and you know, he'll have his army. Then they have to, in that way, fight off with the army. Yudhishthir was observing the scene from the gate, right? So they had gone to the gate, and then he's looking at, because it's getting wild. So he was just said, now it's time to go, right? Because there's a kerfuffle going on and all that. But then when he sees it's actually working out bad for Drupad, so he's watching that. So you see there's a difference here. So it's not just, let's get out of here because it's time, because it's the time. Everyone's confused, this and that. You would expect that they just get grumpy and then, you know, walk off back to their places. But they're not. They're attacking Drupad. Realizing that Drupad, now his father-in-law, was in danger, he ordered Bhima and Arjuna to assist him. Right? So then it's a matter of going back. And so, you know, if it was just going out and they were grumpy and they left, it's fine, you know. But he's actually personally in danger, his kingdom is, then it's a matter, now we're relatives, now we should help. The brothers quickly ran up to the dais and placed themselves between Drupad and the other kings. Right, so here's that Brahmin that they know, okay, this Brahmin was pretty good. Right, and then the other Brahmin, he's like twice the size of everyone. Yeah, who's this guy, right? Arjuna still held the sacrificial bow because he picked it up. He could carry it with him. You know, it's not like it wasn't. Bhima tore up a tree from the side of the arena and brandished it menacingly. Right. So when we say a tree, we don't mean the branch. We mean the whole tree. You rip it off out of the ground because you're so strong. And if you're being technical, then you whack it a little bit to knock off the leaves, because the leaves, you can't, the wind, it'll break, so you knock off the leaves and small branches. So now you just have a big, huge club, right? The two princes looked like Indra and Yamaraj standing against the massed forces of Daityas and Danavas, right? So Arjuna like Indra and Bhima like Yamaraj. The hundreds of kings stood back warily as they looked at the two heroes facing them, right? So all of them move forward. Drupad moves back. These two come out and stand there. They kind of, you know, they don't move back, but they're just, okay, who are these guys? Krishna remained unmoved, right? Everybody else is freaking out. Krishna is just sitting there peacefully. Watching the two Pandavas preparing to fight, he turned to Balaram and said quietly, any doubts there may be have been about the identity of these princes should now be gone, right? Who else is there? Even they came in, they were princes, they're like that. Brahman knows these things, but it's not about a fight and all this kind of thing, so they would have left. You know, the Kshatriya is a Kshatriya business. He's a Brahman, he came in, he won the princess, he goes, he'll live his Brahminical life like this. But them coming forward and two men standing there, and the whole host of Kshatriyas moving forward, you know, menacingly, then that Drupad is put back, they're all put back, right? So in other words, it took the whole host of Kshatriyas to make Drupad a little worried to move back a little bit. But two guys made the whole host move back. So, yeah, so that's what Krishna's point is. None but Bhima could have torn up that sal tree. So sal tree, sal is used to make I think we explained before, the frames on doors and that. It's one of the strongest woods. It's not a carving wood. It's just strong. It lasts forever. You can leave it outside in the rain and sun for years. Nothing happens to it. It's generally super straight and super hard. So it wasn't just he picked up like a frangipani tree or something like that, right? He picked up, you know, a sal tree. So, and they're very tall. So this guy is sitting here with, you know, this tree that's like, you know, tens of meters long, you know. So, you know, if he makes a swipe, he hits like 50 guys, you know, so, yeah. None but Bhima could have torn up that sal tree, and who but Arjuna could have struck down the target? O Sankarsana, these are surely the Pandavas. Balaram looked at Bhima and Arjuna as they prepared to ward off the maddened kings. This is certainly true, he smiled. It is fortunate indeed that our aunt and her young sons have escaped from the fire in Varnabhata. Right, so for Krishna and Balaram, they've come here to perform their pastimes and interact with their devotees. So they're just, you know, they're just going on in this nice, they don't have any attachments for all these mundane things. Kshatriyas are getting involved and all bent out of shape. But for them, it's just the interaction with the devotees. It means they will, make some adjustments with the demons, you know, they'll have fighting and all that. But that's only to establish a peaceful, nice atmosphere for the devotees. You know, because if everyone's following the rules, it's a peaceful atmosphere. The devotees are happy. But otherwise, killing the demons, they're going to die anyway, like this. Material energy is going to kill them, so. Many Brahmins ran forward to support the two Pandavas, right? Because there's Brahmins there, so the Brahmins just run forward, you know, to help. Yeah, we're going to help here. They waved their water pots and deerskins, crying out, "Fear not, we shall fight these arrogant monarchs," right? But they don't, it's not that they necessarily have any special powers in this way. They have their austerities, their knowledge and that, but it's not necessarily that they're like Parasurama or some others who have these mystic powers. And do. So it's just, you know, they have their deerskin and wave that and their water pot, you know, because you can hit somebody with a water pot, you know. Arjuna smiled and gently restrained them. "Stand aside and watch," he said. "With my sharp arrows, I shall stop them just as so many snakes are checked by the power of mantras." Right? So that'll be, he's given an example, right? Because whenever you are saying something, someone relates to a situation according to their own view, their own perspective. So when you give an example to them to show them something new or to explain something, you have to give it in the context of their view of things. So they, as Brahmins, they're going to view things, you know, the way of mantras and shastras and rituals. So he says, "I'm going to stop them, you know, stop these snake-like kshatriyas just like snakes are stopped by mantra." Right? If it was the kshatriya, you'd say it slightly differently. Is that, you know, so that's the whole thing. You can see how perfectly it wasn't that, because now he's in the kshatriya mood, he just says kshatriya stuff. No, he still spoke to the Brahmins as you would speak to a Brahmin. Karna advanced to the head of the kings, right? Because in one sense, he has the, you know, greatest prowess on one level. He shouted, "Although the royal order should not attack Brahmins, it is permissible if those Brahmins stand ready for battle." Right, like we see in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Then Drona, most of the time he stayed in the back, you know, with the king and gave directions and all that and plans for the, you know, the military phalanx and all these kind of strategies. So, but when he came on the battlefield to fight, now you can fight back. Now you can fight. So his point is yes, okay, they're Brahmins, maybe we shouldn't fight with them, but they're standing to fight, so now we can fight with them. And they're not going to bother, generally, those Brahmins on the side, you know, unless you're being belligerent. But Karna stopped at a distance from Arjuna and shot arrows at him. Arjuna, who was supplied with a large number of shafts by Drupad's soldiers, right, because he doesn't have his quiver yet that has unlimited arrows, so you have to supply arrows. Like in the Kshatriyas in their carts, their chariots, they have thousands of arrows in the back. These chariots aren't little dinky things. They're not like the ones you see in the Roman gladiators and, you know, those kind of horse races and that. These are huge chariots that they have thousands of arrows in the back. And so then they can take how many they need for fighting. So that was why he asked for a boon to have two quivers that had unlimited arrows. You know, he puts one side, one the other. So if he's shooting with the right hand, he can take him this way. Shoot it with the left hand, then he can take him this way. You know, so he has two. That's why. But here, then they have to supply. So he immediately countered all of Karna's arrows with his own. King Shalya of Madras fought with Bhima, because he's big. He's as strong as 10,000 elephants. They appeared like two huge elephants colliding together. Duryodhana and the other kings contended lightly with the other Brahmins who still challenged them. Right? So the Brahmins that went on the side, they're still a little belligerent. So then Duryodhana, the king, contended lightly with them. You know, you do something that's not going to hurt the Brahmins, but it kind of like keeps them from coming over and hitting you and slapping you in the face with their deer skin, right? They easily held off the ascetic sages, but did not injure them, right? Because they respect, they're Brahmins, so okay, you know. But they're looking at, okay, they're, you know, they're senior and that, but, you know, as far as prowess goes, they're less, so they're careful with them. You know, like if you're fighting with a bunch of kids or something like that, you know, you keep them at bay, you make faces, you make loud noises, but you don't injure them, right? Arjuna sent a number of swift arrows at Karna. They pierced his limbs and stunned him with their force. Karna looked upon his opponent with surprise, right? Because it's like he knows how to fight and he can shoot, and just like Arjuna countered the arrows, he can counter arrows, but this one he couldn't. Not only did they get through, but they actually hit him. Not only did they hit him, then you know the they pierced the limbs. Now they're wearing armor. So what does that mean? If you have the shoulder thing and then you have the arm thing and there's a little gap, you have to hit there. That means from a distance you have to be able to hit, you know, the space of a needle. So someone who can do that and it's done forcefully, it's not just he happened to just get it there, then he can think, okay, who is this? He had not expected such dexterity and martial power, even though he did see him string the bow and all that, but it could be, okay, he's good at trick shots. Guarding himself more carefully, right, because before he wasn't, he thought, this guy's easy. He replied with hundreds of straight flying shafts, but Arjuna again knocked down all his arrows before they reached him. So this is how fast they're shooting. You know, just it's just the skills that they have. Just so he's shooting arrows, you're shooting back, and they're just knocking each other down. So an arrow comes, you just hit it down. They haven't used celestial weapons or other kind of mantras yet. Seeing his expertise, the other kings cheered him on, right? So it's going to turn at some point in now that watch, because Karna is very expert and Arjuna is very expert. The other kings will stop and just watch. Everyone will just start watching. Right? This infuriated Karna, right? Because he's doing such a good job, they're saying, wow, well done, you know, because Kshatriyas aren't afraid to, if the other side does something very special, they're not afraid to say that it's well done. Because, you know, they'll give acknowledgement where acknowledgement's due, but it doesn't mean they stop fighting. This infuriated Karna. He released thousands of arrows, right? So up to now, it had been a few arrows, then hundreds of arrows was going. Now he's using thousands of arrows, right? They filled the air like a flock of golden birds. Still Arjuna countered them, invoking celestial weapons and creating a mass of arrows that sped towards Karna, right? Because thousands of arrows means you shoot one arrow by mantra, you turn it into hundreds of thousands of arrows. So that he could shoot so many arrows and each one is turning into so many. So there's thousands flying at once through the air. That you sometimes see that in, you know, the Chinese battles and that. They have 100,000 soldiers out there and they shoot 100,000, you know, arrows in the air like that. So you have like that. They can do that. But Arjuna still counted them. The two combatants fought with astonishing skill. As they battled, they called out to one another in the language of heroes, right? So now he's talking in that language, not in the language of the Brahmins. Behold the strength of my arms. Guard yourself if you can. See how I counter your moves. Stand ready, for I shall release even more deadly weapons. The other king stood by and watched open mouth, praising both warriors as they displayed their skills, right? So Karna was just kind of, you know, lightly fighting. And then, you know, it got a little more serious, so he's being careful. But when the king started to praise Arjuna, now he starts to show all his special prowess and that. Karna soon realized he was not to gain the upper hand in the fight. So he stopped his attack and addressed Arjuna in a loud voice. Right? So this is significant because here's the first time he's actually fighting with Arjuna. He couldn't defeat him. And he can realize this is not going to happen. And we'll see all through the Mahabharata, every time that there's an encounter or something, he can't defeat him. But every time when he sits with Duryodhana, he thinks he can. And Duryodhana thinks he can. They all think, you know, it's like that. This is the foolishness. So he addressed Arjuna. Oh, best of Brahmins, right? So before he was, what was he saying he was? A poor and unqualified Brahmin. That was his statement. And now he's saying, oh, best of the Brahmins, right? Because with this kind of prowess, all the kings stop watching. I am pleased with your prowess. Are you the science of arms personified? Right, because in other words, every one of the sciences and all that, every one of the books of Vedic knowledge, they're a person. So he's wondering, are you that knowledge, the Dhanurved personified? Perhaps you are Parasaram, right? Because he's his prowess, he's a Brahmin, or Indra, because Indra, demigods come and can conceal themselves in so many ways. Because the science of arms personified would be a Brahmin, Parasaram is a Brahmin, or maybe even the infallible Lord Vishnu. When I am angered, there's none who can fight with me but these personalities. Right? So he's saying his prowess is so great, except for these people, no one can fight with him. And then he says on the side, or the son of Kunti Arjuna. But because he's dressed as a Brahmin, it's not going to be them, and Arjuna was killed, so it must be the science of arm personified, or Dhanurved personified, Parasaram, Indra, or even Vishnu. You know, Vishnu himself in a form as Narayan Rishi, or as Ramachandra, or, you know, like this. So he's saying, Arjuna smiled. I'm neither Indra nor Parasaram, nor am I any god or divine being. Know me to be a simple Brahmin who has become proficient in arms by his guru's grace. So everything he's saying here is true. Right? Having mastered both earthly and celestial weapons, I stand here ready to vanquish you in battle. Right, so he is, by the grace of his guru, happens to be Dronacharya. He isn't Indra or Parasaram or a divine being, right, as he mentioned before, because those were the options, various demigods, divine beings, the Supreme Lord, like that. But he's just saying he's a simple Brahmin, because that's the position they're taking now. And he's not going to see, I mean, he's Arjuna, otherwise it'll turn into a whole battle again. Karna lowered his weapons and became pensive. Right? Pensive is that they're not sure, a little bit, you know, disturbed. But, you know. This was no ordinary Brahmin. It would be better to desist from the fight. A Brahmin's spiritual power was always greater than a Kshatriya's martial power. Right? Especially, I mean, it always is, but they generally never apply it in a martial way. And this Brahmin can. Because we have to remember is that they've been and married their Brahmacharis like this. They've been, you know, proper. And so they've been living that ascetic lifestyle. So that power will be there, plus their Kshatriya prowess. That's why the Angaraparna said, you defeated me. He defeated the demigod Arjuna because of them being Brahmacharis. You said it, but if he'd been a Grihastha, he would have defeated him. I mean, Angaraparna would have defeated Arjuna. The great king Vishramitra, or even though well-versed in every divine weapon, could not overpower Vashishta Rishi. And the Brahmin Parasaram single-handedly defeated all the kings of the earth. Karna bowed to the mysterious Brahmin and turned away from the battle. So he wasn't sure, but, you know, Brahmin says you don't push him. And so then he just like that. So then next, then after we'll, so now the battle with the Kshatriyas and the Brahmins, you know, have stopped because they stopped to watch Arjuna with Karna. Karna stopped the fight, so that fight stopped. So next all there is Bhima and Shalya. Then we'll see that fight, how that's going. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.